Wow, how is going to begin the sermon? Jill Gilliland has a sac that's growing near her heart, probably full of fluid, probably from lymph nodes, and it's getting difficult to breathe. And that's bad news, okay? And then just found out Tiffany and Jeff, who just got married last Saturday a week ago, both lost their jobs this week. Okay? So I'm going to share scripture, but let's stop and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for healing for Jill. You know what's going on with that sac. The doctors, you know, they don't know exactly what it is. Please, we pray to shrink it, to erase it. Give her breath. Give her peace. We ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, in Luke 14, which I just found out this last week, Luke is a doctor and he's the only one who uses this word. A man was in the synagogue with dropsy, and dropsy is fluid on the body. Could be congestive heart failure. Could have been kidney. We don't know what it was. But Jesus healed it. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, heal Jill of this fluid that's by her heart. Lord, for Jeff and Tiffany, with them losing their job, you tell us to pray for daily bread. And with them just getting married, thank you, Lord. Wow, for the circumstances of this, please show yourself strong. Like we just sang, we shout before our enemies. Lord, please bring jobs to these two. Please, in Jesus' name. Help them to put you first. Restore their faith, we ask. What a blow. And then Royce White this Friday has hip surgery. We ask that it go very, very, very well. Guide the surgeon's hands, we ask. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Some of you know Matt Chandler, a really neat pastor. And in his 30s, he was diagnosed with cancer. But not just any kind of cancer, brain cancer. He said, probably how you guys feel. He felt like he was just hit in the soul. Like, Lord, what are you doing? And I don't know whether God took him to this particular verse, but I found this particular verse at Psalm 119, verse 68, that says, God is good and he does good. God is good and he does good. And so Matt Chandler just began just repeating that. God is good and he does good. I don't know what you're up to, the Lord. Maybe you're going to be taking me home. Maybe, I don't know, but you are good and you do good. Say it with me. God is good and he does good. And we're here this morning to build our faith. Wherever you are, God wants to build your faith. Amen. And no matter how big your faith is, guess what? He wants to build it a little bit more. A couple months ago, Sherry Neiswanger had a, it didn't happen during the service, I think it was earlier in the week, but just of us kind of bouncing off these wineskins and not knowing how to unlock it. Well, one way to unlock wineskins is faith. So let's stand and read about somebody who also struggled with their faith. And they went to Jesus with it, just like we're supposed to do. Mark chapter 9. Now, in the beginning of Mark 9, Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. He's been transfigured before them in all his glory. I mean, they're just like, whoa. And they come down the mountain, and this is what they find out. Now, a lot of times after a mountaintop experience, like a wedding, then you have the valley afterwards. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd. I'm in verse 14. A large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Don't you love that? They're arguing, da, da, da. But man, when Jesus shows up, they leave their argument. Lots of times we get so used to Jesus, we keep arguing. Never mind. Verse 16. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech so he can't talk. Whenever it seizes him, which means he has seizures, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and when they foam at the mouth, when you have an epileptic fit, which is so weird, they still don't know what causes epileptic fits to this day. You foam blood. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. And we know from the Gospel of Luke, this also tends to happen when there's a fire or where there's water. In other words, the demon's just not trying to cause a seizure, but it's trying to kill the boy. I ask your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You always expect Jesus to be encouraging, right? Verse 19. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? Haven't you got it yet? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. The spirit was attacking the father's faith as well as the boy's body. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth, probably, you know, his eyes going back in his head. Jesus asked the boy, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. Oh, it is in this. That's why I picked Mark. Never mind. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Now, let's stop right there. Where was the father's faith? In Jesus, right? What did he think Jesus could do? Possibly. What else did he think about Jesus? That Jesus was compassionate and that Jesus would care. So he had probably a little more faith in Jesus. I feel like, am I still on good? Okay. He probably had a little more faith in Jesus' love than in Jesus' power. Where are you today? Lots of us, I think, probably have more faith in Jesus' power, but we kind of struggle with the love part. I know he loves us, but he's probably not going to help us, right? So if you can do anything, and Jesus is so kind and gentle, verse 23, if you can, I don't know how he said that, but if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, say it with me, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Woo, yes. And the spirit shrieked. I mean, that probably wasn't a pleasant sound. That probably was blood curdling. You know, like, whoa, what's happening to my son, right? The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. Even after your victory, expect more attack. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind, say that with me, this kind can come out only by prayer. Amen? Is that good? Let's pray. Father, Lord, you are love. You are good, and what you do is good. You are powerful. And Lord, we pray again, specifically for Jill, for Jeff and Tiffany, and for Royce, you are good, and what you do is good, that you have a plan. And Lord, increase our faith in both your love and your power. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us not to be afraid to say, hey, I believe, but not completely, not fully, not well. Help my unbelief. Thank you, Lord. We believe. Help our unbelief this morning, we ask. Open up wineskins, we ask. Hallelujah, Lord, you're doing a work. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Bump each other or something. Oh, let's do God's word. Boy, Tom preaches 1 week and I'm out of... Wasn't it good last week too? Oh, encourage him, all right? Encourage him. Maybe we might not have God's word, so here we go. This is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I will read it, obey it, and share it to be close to Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, now you can give each other a tap or something. And Cheryl Karabinas, come on up. Jamie, if you could turn the pulpit mic back on, and I'm going to turn this thing off. On Well, I probably, anyway, Cheryl went to the ladies' retreat, and something happened.
My name is Cheryl Carabanis, and yes, I did go to the ladies' retreat. And I'm not going to look at you because I'll cry. So I've been working on trying to forgive, and I was not able to forgive. And I knew if I didn't forgive, it was a sin, and I knew I was going to go to hell. It was simple and very easy. But I've been working on this, on forgiving, for many years. It wasn't something that I decided to work on this week or this month, but many years. And as I work on this in my home, and I try to talk to God about it, and I know I'm too weak, and I know I can't forgive, it's not in me. He gave me this verse. He said in Psalms 119, 124, 125, it's the King James Version, "Deal with your servant according to your love, and teach me your decrees. I am your servant. Give me discernment that I might understand your statutes." This verse is on my refrigerator, and it's been on there for at least 3 years that I could think of. And I over and over would read that. Well, we went to the ladies' retreat, and why I could not forgive this person is irrelevant. What the forgiveness was about, that's actually irrelevant too. Because no matter what anybody does to you or to me, it's not my place to judge them. It's my place to forgive them. It's not my place to say, "I'm angry with you because you did." It's my place to find grace and love in my heart to forgive. And I wasn't able to do that. Well, at the ladies' retreat, there was a, I think it's a forgiveness ceremony, it's called. And basically what it is you take and you write whatever you want forgiveness for. And you put it on names or whatever it is, on a piece of rice paper. And during the ceremony, you go up and you put this piece of rice paper in a bowl and it gets stirred. And it's symbolic of releasing it and asking God for forgiveness for your sin. I take these things very serious, folks. I don't take them lightly. They are between me and God. Nobody knows what I put on that paper. God knew. And as the service was going on, I went up there. My intent was to put it in there. I really wanted to put it in there. And I could not. Some of you know what I have been working on, and Jill's one of them. It was that many years ago I've been working on this, Jill. I couldn't put it in there. I left. I was totally distraught. I went back to my bunk and stayed there, left the lights out, didn't want anybody to know where I'm at. And I just cried. I now know that I'm going to hell. Why? Because there's this much. There's just this much out of everything in this world I cannot do. And it is a commandment to forgive your brothers. Forgive your neighbor as you would have them forgive you. Hey, I wasn't doing it. Well, I was kind of like talking to God. And a very beautiful sister came into the room and began to ask me if they would like me to, if they could pray with me. And I abruptly said, no, get out of here. I'm very gracious, folks. In case you don't know it, I usually say my mind, okay? I say what I'm thinking. There's not a, you know, what you see now, that's what you get. So I don't all know what happened, but she didn't leave. And then another beautiful sister joined us. And she asked, well, I have to go back a half a step. I've seen the garden in heaven. And it was because of a forgiveness that I had with someone. And when that person died, I was so afraid that they would go to hell that I was, again, distraught. And I prayed so hard. And the answer to the prayer at that time is, God, let me see that part of heaven where this beautiful garden is. And it is gorgeous. Take my word for it. You'll never. The light is so bright, so gentle. It doesn't shine from above. It shines from within. The colors are so clear, so beautiful, so soft, so brilliant. I don't have enough adjectives to say it. But anyway, so this sister helped me find that quiet spot. And it wasn't the same place. I went to a forest. I'm an outdoors person. I know the woods. I could name the trees. I can name your birds. I can name your plants. But I've never been there before, and I didn't know what kind of trees they were, but they were gorgeous. And it was quiet, and it was calming. And I was no longer distraught. And now I'm crying anyway. But so we stopped with that. And it was at that time when I was there, I heard no voice. I felt a presence but saw nobody. And all that presence told me, I love you. I was so happy because up until then, I knew God couldn't love me. You see, I have this sin that I'm not getting away. It's keeping me from going to heaven. I am not the person God wants me to be. And he loves me. Well, I probably sounded like a little bit of an idiot because I started laughing. It was joyous. I've never laughed so joyously. It wasn't funny. It was just joyous. And I told my sisters this, and, well, me just being who I am, I kept repeating, but God loves me. God really loves me. And I'm telling you, God loves me. He truly loves me. I'm not arrogant. I don't deserve his love. There is nothing I have done to deserve his love. Jesus died on the cross. His blood covered my sin. So I have a chance at heaven. Will I go there? That's up to God, okay? I don't know. I'm not going to be so arrogant to say, I'm going to heaven. I'll see you there. Oh, I really want to see every one of you there. But I don't know that. So with all this, God healed my soul. It's funny because if we had that forgiveness ceremony today, I'd put those names on there and throw it in there and you could just stir it up, but I don't have to release it. God released it. But you know what? Our God is so abundant, so gracious, so kind. He gives more to us than we will ever know and recognize. But he also gave me not only a peace and helped me forgive. I didn't forgive. God did that for me. He took that burden, that sin from me. And he knew I wanted it gone, but he also knew I was holding on to it really strong. I had a lot of emotions behind that, but he took it away. And right after that, well, of course, we have to go down for dinner. So, you know, everybody goes, and I had to stay there just for a moment and just kind of like take it in a little bit. So I went down the steps. Now, you have to excuse me a moment. Here's what I did. I go up the steps, and some of you are saying, big deal. You know what? Before that, when I went to the ladies' retreat, before that, you saw an old woman hobbling around this church. I had such pain in my legs. It hurt so bad, and I just kept going, and I figured it's there for a reason. Don't worry about it. You have pain, and that's the way it is. Praise God, the pain is gone. So I got washed all over again with God's presence. It was His love. It's His healing. We do not deserve it. Praise God. And I want to thank Pastor for letting me tell you this, because now a relief has been taken off my shoulders, because I'll tell you what. I had to tell somebody, and I can't think of anybody better to tell than my brothers and sisters in this church who may be struggling with some type of forgiveness that they need to do, and it's that much, and they cannot let go, and it is totally controlling their life. Let it go. Please let it go. And if you can't do it today, hey, don't beat yourself up. Just keep praying. Yes. Just keep reading your Bible. God will give you a verse, and He will teach you His discernments, and He will show you His statutes that you might understand Him better, and you might become closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. And I thank you all for listening.
Woo, yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you've been working on Cheryl's heart, her spirit. Thank you for giving her the ability through you, Lord, through you to forgive. And then reaffirming it with, and she didn't even know it until she walked down the steps like, wait, I'm not hobbling. Hallelujah, Lord. You are good and you do good. You are good and you do good. And say it with me. You are good and you do good. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Bless you, dear lady. Amen, amen. Mm. So God wants to build our faith. And He loves us, amen. And sometimes it's kind of a rough go, isn't it? And it looks like we're only going to get to this first part, and that's okay, but Tom's going to be preaching for the next 3 weeks, so you just have to hold on. But the Lord's teaching us so much good stuff. So go to the next slide. There's an ascending scale of faith, and this is where we'll be. There's, when it comes to faith healing, when it comes to miracles, when it comes to God working in our lives, seven different positions. First, there's opposition, then unbelief, skepticism. Then there's qualified faith in the past, then qualified faith in the present, then participating faith, and the goal is ministering faith. Let's talk about that for a little bit. First, there's opposition. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't do miracles. That doesn't happen. Now, if you're there, or if you know somebody who's there, please get in their map. Right? Because we are to help people be from wherever they are to take the next step. And it doesn't help when you just yell at people as a whole. If a person is really opposed that healing and miracles and all that, chill bump stuff is a hoax, it needs to be exposed, it needs to be ridiculed, oftentimes the person's very, 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 very sincere. They could be like a Pharisee who believes God doesn't do that anymore, and I'm sorry, when you look at some of the stuff on TV with the faith healers, it's like, and maybe they've seen people give their life savings to some of these faith healers, and it turns out the guy's a sham. And you're against it, and you feel like you should be against it. Or maybe you're really committed to science, and you don't believe that maybe there's even is a God, and that when people believe in the supernatural and are always looking for miracles and always looking for angels, there's not something quite right up there, and they need help. Or maybe, and you've seen this in the papers, maybe you were the doctor who helped a lady give birth, and their son was premature, and all they needed to do was put their son in the incubator. But these people were part of the faith, Word of Faith movement, and the parents refused to do it, anointed their son with oil, and prayed over him, and they watched as the baby turned blue and died. That makes you kind of negative towards faith and miracles. That's the hardest part. Maybe you're not really in opposition. Maybe you're more in the stage of unbelief. There is no God, or God does not and will not perform miracles. Sadducees had that reaction. You don't oppose those who believe, but you pity them for their naivety. You just think, you know, just... And here's the wild thing. I have a friend named Dave. And Dave just loves to share Jesus with people and to bring them to Christ. And an effective way that he's found to do that is to pray when they have to go to the hospital. And if he ever has a friend who is not a believer and they're having to go in for something, he says, tell me, let me pray for you. And I don't know how many times, but this has happened more than once, where the person is to go in for surgery and they take one more x-ray and the mass is gone. And you know what the doctors say? We must have had the wrong x-ray. Oh, we had, actually it was Missy Perkins' cousin. MS, I'm not remembering what the disease was, but this was a long time ago. Your dad would say, my niece has to go into the hospital and she has, I think it was MS, and there's a lot of scarring that happens whenever there's a surgery. And twice, when she was to go into surgery, we prayed that Sunday morning. On Monday, when they wheel into surgery, the doctor, you know, well, let's just check one more time before we do the surgery. It's gone. I mean, that happened twice. Is that, who did that? Jesus. God is good, and he does good. God is good, and he does good. God is good, and he does good. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So when you have that skeptical mindset, even when there's a miracle right in front of you, what do you tend to do? Well, maybe we didn't diagnose that right. Next step. Where are we on skepticism? God possibly does miracles, but generally not. Very skeptical, scientific mindset. Miracles are suspect, and they must be proven and repeated again and again and again. What's the problem with that viewpoint? Miracles don't happen again. You just can't. And so, please, Lord, that doctor said, well, I must have got the wrong report. Please let it happen again and again. And Francis says, you know what? That's the fifth. I was there when they did that x-ray. Amen? Now, here we go. Qualified faith in the past. Sometimes, and I'm from a dispensational viewpoint as far as my upbringing and training and all that, even though I don't believe it anymore, that God does miracles in the past and in the future, like Bible times and Revelation, but usually not today. God emphasizes the word, and amen, he does, not signs and wonders. A mark of an evil generation is to seek for a sign, and that's really a lack of faith, and Jesus says that. Now, I had that passage preached to me so much growing up. An evil generation seeks for a sign. These faith healers, they're evil. And I was amazed when I began reading the Bible for myself. You know when Jesus says that? It's in Matthew chapter 12. It's kind of early on in his ministry. And I thought from my growing up, Jesus says, an evil generation only wants a sign. I'm going to just give you one sign, and it's Jonah. I'm going to be in the belly of the earth like Jesus, or like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. There's your sign. And then you keep reading, and Jesus keeps doing miracles. I thought Jesus stopped doing miracles. No, he keeps doing miracles. He's not rebuking the sign. What's he rebuking? The lack of faith. The Pharisees were saying, give us a sign and we'll believe. And Jesus was saying, you believe and I'll give you a sign. Signs aren't wrong. It's the lack of faith and demanding from God. Now let me say something here. You might be in numbers 1, 2, or 3. I pray this morning you get at least a number 4. Maybe you don't know whether Moses really crossed the Red Sea, and maybe you can't really believe that manna came down every day, and maybe you can't believe in all that, you know, that Jesus touched people and he healed, but could you at least believe this? That the Virgin Mary gave birth to a little boy named Jesus. Can you at least believe that the angels said, hey, we got a Savior for you, and the shepherds came running? Can you at least believe that the wise men came? Can you at least believe that? Can you at least believe that? Amen? Can you at least let's just start there, because that's the best miracle ever. No, it's not. But it's a good one. It's a real good one. And maybe you can't believe in all that hocus pocus and Jesus feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. Maybe that's just like too much. Can you at least believe he went to the cross and took a beating for you? Can you at least believe that he turned to that thief on the cross and said, today you'll be with me in paradise? Can you at least believe that he died and he said, it is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And he was put into the tomb. Can you at least believe that he was there for 3 days and he got cold and hard and stiff? And can you at least believe that on Easter Sunday morning, the stone rolled back and the angels came down and Jesus came out? Can you at least believe that? Now that's a miracle. And that changes your eternal destiny. Isn't that great? God's not asking us to this full-blown, well, if you want to be saved, if you want to get to heaven, you better have, can you at least believe Jesus died and rose again for you and me? Hallelujah. God is good, and he does good. Yeah, and all the time, right? That's true too. Say it with me. God is good, and he does good. So that's number 4, qualified faith in the past. Yeah, okay. And I'm telling you, once you start believing in the biggest miracle of all, Jesus dying for us and rising again, then the rest starts happening. And that's where you pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that gets us to stage 5, qualified faith in the present. I love this. Believes God still does miracles today, supportive, even enthusiastic about miracles in other lands, other churches, other individuals, but prefers to be spectators versus participants. Nikki Gumbel, neat pastor from England, and England is a very secular society, and we're heading that way, but they're much further down the road. And Nikki Gumbel is the one who started Alpha. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Alpha Course. Wonderful stuff. That started in England. Amazing. Well, here's the backstory of how it's a thing of just get a friend who doesn't know Jesus and bring them and have dinner and go over these 7, it's 7 different sessions. I'm not just wonderful basic Christianity. Anyway, a charismatic pastor from America went over to speak at Nikki Gumbel's church. Now, Nikki Gumbel was in stage. I guess he was in stage 5, qualified faith. Yeah, I know God does miracles in the past. Yeah, I've heard about miracles happening now. I mean, and I think that's where as a whole probably we are as a church. I mean, we get excited when we hear about Cheryl getting this healing. I mean, we're happy for you, Cheryl. That's neat. But do we want to pray for it for ourselves? You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so this guy's preaching, and he and you can, you know, you might not accept this. I believe it. Oh, Charles Spurgeon, back in the 1800s, had this. He would be preaching, and all of a sudden, he would point to somebody and say, "You had your shop open this last Sunday, and you charged 9 pence for a pair of shoes that only cost you 4. And we just come on them. Whose gloves you have? They aren't yours." He had ladies praying for him while he preached. Now see, back then they didn't know what that was. That's called a word of knowledge. Or and the guy who was the shoe guy, he was an unbeliever. And he's, Charles Spurgeon is preaching to 4,000 or 5,000 people. And it says, it would just come on me. And I'd have to stop my sermon and go. And the guy goes, "Oh, stop, don't say anything more. Do I come back to church, or what's he going to say next week?" And that shoe salesman got saved. Anyway, so that's the kind of thing that happened at this charismatic preacher's preaching. And all of a sudden he stopped. He says, "Wait, somebody's here with really itchy feet. I mean, really itchy feet." And Nicky Gumbel's wife elbows him and goes, "Nicky, you got athlete's foot. I'm sure it's somebody else. You know, it's not me." See, we're spectators, but are we participants? And the guy kept going. And wait a minute, God's giving me something else. And this guy didn't know about his athlete's feet. And he kept going on, doing more and more descriptions, until finally Nicky Gumbel says, "It's me! It's me!" And he got healed of his. Who did that? Amen. Say it with me. God is good. God is good, and He does good. Open up the wineskin. I don't care where you are in this scale. There's just a little bit more. Amen? That's where the wine flows. So then after participating faith, let me share a little bit more about participating faith. We have, and if you want to join, please, there is room. I don't know, around 40 of us, 30 of us that are on the prayer chain. And we're texting back, and it is just wonderful. And one of us, won't name any names, had a surgery to do. And you really struggled with, you pray for others, but to ask others to pray for you. It's weird. It's different. It feels, I don't know, vulnerable. I don't know what the deal is, but you did it. And you've typed, "Oh, prayer warriors, I felt your prayers." So I thought, okay, that was good for you. You know, spectator participant, what are you? Spectator or participant? I mean, spectator is better than a skeptic, amen? Right? Spectator's a whole bunch better than a skeptic. But okay, so this, I can tell, yeah. Faith and wisdom. Say it with me. Faith and wisdom. Say it again. Faith and wisdom. Say it again. Faith and wisdom. And here's the deal, that faith and wisdom have been seen as enemies, and Christians, we get into debates both with our secular friends, but also maybe with the charismatic friends or those who are dispensational. It's faith and wisdom. Understand, this is just, God just gave me this morning while I was shaving or washing my whatever. It's like, when God does stuff, often when He does stuff, when He first does it, there's a miracle. Have you noticed that? You know, I mean, there's a miracle. God puts 10 plagues on the land of Egypt. He parts the Red Sea. He gives them manna every day. He has a rock that follows them that gives them water. And then when they get to the Promised Land, the Jordan River opens up. And then what happens? The manna stops. First city, what do? Jericho, what do? They march around it 7 times for 7 days, right? What do with the next city? They attack it. They act like they're being defeated. They have an ambush behind. God wants us to have both faith and wisdom. How many times did Jesus feed the 4,000 and 5,000? Twice. That's all. I mean, he might have done more. I'll tell you what, if I was one of the disciples, I'd say, hey, I got it. We don't need to be lugging this bread around with us all the time. One loaf, Peter, just one loaf and one little fish will do us fine. Jesus only did that two times. He ministered 3.5 years. You know how many meals he had, all things being equal? He had some 4,000 meals with his disciples, but twice he did a miracle. Faith and wisdom, faith and wisdom, faith and wisdom. Where am I going with that? Oh, yeah. So, I have fairly pretty teeth that rot. When I go to the dentist, they say, Mr. Baker, you take excellent care of your teeth and you have two cavities. So the last time I went back in I do it every 6 months, the hygienist was, you know, and she said, oh boy, you got some food from lunch. Actually, I didn't eat lunch. I didn't eat breakfast. That's food from supper. And she said, well, you're flossing, you're driving the food down. Faith and wisdom, faith and wisdom, right? I had faith, I didn't have wisdom. So she said, why don't you use a water pick? And my daughter uses that, so I bought a water pick. It said it was 98% more effective, and da-da-da-da-da, and it says you only need to do it like once a day. I did it 3, 4, 5 times a day. I did it twice as long as you're supposed to do. I had to charge it up almost every, I mean, man, I'm doing it. And 3 weeks ago, boy, what is going on? Am I grinding my teeth? What is happening to my teeth? And then finally I thought, I think I have a cavity. I go in, the water pick was not able to get the food out of my back molar. I had the biggest cavity I've probably ever had in my life. Faith and wisdom, amen. Now guess what? I water pick and I floss. But I was trusting God. I thought, this is great. So much better than flossing. And so anyway, for whatever reason, I honestly enjoy getting a crown because it's a whole lot less, I mean, it's not, I don't, but afterwards I enjoy it. Root canals are actually even better. I mean, once you get a root canal done, go ahead, drill away, I don't know. You know, but anyway, okay, faith and wisdom, right? I hear you. But when they put that Novocaine in, I guess because I've been jangled up for the last 3 weeks, my heart was racing. Time to text the prayer chain. Kind of embarrassing. Are you a spectator? Praise God. Spectator is better than a skeptic. Amen. But maybe get your foot in the water a little bit and move from spectator to participant. Now, let's go further. Last stage, this is the stage God wants us to have, ministering faith, bold, actively engaging for others and themselves as individuals, as groups, as a church. We sense the Spirit's leading. Bible verses, words of knowledge start coming. Just, And I think, honestly, how many of you on the prayer chain, hasn't your faith grown because of doing this, right? And you're seeing how other people pray? Rosemary Laughlin, if you want somebody to pray for you, get Rosemary Laughlin. I'll tell you what. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we lay before you our sister Jill, and we ask, boom, 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 and you go, yes, yes, amen. And God, so maybe you're a spectator. Try to start being a little bit of a participant. If you're a participant now, start to minister. Don't be afraid. And I think because of your guys' prayers, Valerie, our youngest daughter, has tremendous foot pains, had to buy these ugly shoes that she absolutely hates, and she has to get, you know, the right support and all that, and it's just not getting better. And then she went to the doctors the other week, and she became a participant, and she texted all of us, our family, and said, please pray for me, I'm going to the doctors. And so, you know, I thought of Rosemary's prayers. And I thought, Lord, and I just tried to meditate on Scripture about feet. And so I texted back to Valerie. Valerie, she's a part-time secretary for a church. Valerie, and she's going to start a ladies' Bible study here. Valerie, you have a heart for the Lord and for people. And Scripture says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And then, and in the Old Testament, it says, even after 40 years of wandering, their feet did not swell. May God bless your feet. Amen. Skeptic to spectator to participant. God is good, and He does good. Say it with me. God is good, and He does good. Oh, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Keep moving us further, Lord. Help us not to be afraid. There's good wine from soft wineskins. Lord, keep us from getting hard. And it doesn't mean that we have to be all the way down to number 7. Maybe we just need to go from 1 to 2 or 2 to 3. Hallelujah, Lord. Soften us up wherever we are in Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name, in Luke 14 again, you healed the man with dropsy. Heal our sister Jill with this fluid around her heart. Lord, in Jesus' name, who gave manna to the children of Israel every day, met their needs, give manna to Jeff and Tiffany, meet their needs. Lord, in Jesus' name, you just touched the hip socket of Jacob, and it was out of joint. Touch Royce White's hip socket and put it back in, Lord. Father, Paul told Timothy to take a little bit of wine for his stomach's sake. There's so much stuff in Scripture that's actually medically sound and good. Guide the doctors in this as well and help us. It's not faith versus wisdom. It's faith and wisdom together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, bless Cheryl. Thank you for helping her to forgive and continue to build her up in that way. And this morning, maybe you're at the skeptic, or maybe you're at the opposition. Ask God to help you believe in the best miracle of all, and that's Jesus Christ's death and resurrection for you. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to take over. And then you're going to experience the second best miracle, and that is you being born again, going to heaven, having your sins washed, having a connection with Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't know where we are this morning. You do. As we take communion, show us where we are and what, maybe it's a big step or maybe it's just a little one, of faith that we need. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. You are good, and you do good. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen.